We're holding on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, the fifth line, about two dots. The Mishnah said, Ketzad Potris Tzoritzein Kolor. We said that what does this mean? That the Chamesh Esri Noshim are themselves potter from Chalitza and Yibum, and that the Tzoris are. And we said not only the Tzoris, but Tzoris Tzoritzein and so forth. So, Menahani Mili, where do we know that from? Amud of Yehuda, the Amakro Litzro, so this actually we learned all the way back on Daf Gimel, because the Torah says by a wife's sister, Litzro, that you're not allowed to marry a woman and her sister, Litzro, to make them rivals. And the word Litzro means that Torah ribs at Tzores, Arbe, the Torah is including many Tzores, many levels of Tzores, because otherwise it would have said Lotzur or something like that. Tosfos at the beginning of the Masechta explains that actually we already explained that before. What the Gemara is asking over here is, how do we know that that continues to go ad sofa olam, that it goes even though she's the tzara of the tzara of the tzara, etc., and to begin with there was an error. So we learn that from the word litzro. Rav Ashi, almost svara. Rav Ashi says a different answer. You don't really need the pasuk to tell us that. It's a svara that it continues going forever. Tzara my time asira. After all, on what grounds is the tzara asir? Remember, the scenario was that the first wife is herself an erva. Let's say, for example, the daughter of the brother who's now let's say, for example, in the original example, we had that Shimon is married to Reuven's daughter, and therefore she's an erva to Reuven. But her tzara, we said, was unrelated, and on the face of it, she ought to be able to do chalit, she ought to be able to do yibum. And why don't we? After all, dimakam erva kaima, because she in effect herself is considered an erva, which we learn that from the original word litzra. Well, once she's considered an erva, tzara nami dimakam erva kaima, then each time you have a tzara. Tzara, then the original tzara, the one level up tzara, is herself an erva, and therefore she asks her tzara, and so it continues. So in diagram two, for example, so Rachel was Reuven's daughter, married to Shimon, therefore she's an erva to Reuven. Her tzara Miriam, Ravashi points out, is in effect an erva to Reuven as well, because anytime there's no yibum possible, not just in effect, anytime that there's no yibum possible, then she's also to him as Eshesachiv, as his brother's wife, which is an erva. Well, fine. So Miriam herself is now the erva, and therefore Esther, who was her tzara in her marriage to Levi, Miss Levi, let's say, did yibum with Miriam, and now she and Esther are tzaras. Well, then you have the same thing. Miriam herself is the erva, Esther is her tzara, and so it continues, and therefore there's every reason to say that it should continue ad so far. The Mishnah said, "Ketzad in Mesu Hein Chola." We said that suppose the one who was an erva, we said, died or did miun or got divorced or whatever. So then we said that tzores amuter, meaning, in other words, so we said, for example, let's take that scenario again. If before Shimon died, he divorced Rachel, who is Reuben's daughter, then when Shimon dies, he's only married to Miriam, so therefore Miriam is not considered a tzaras erva anymore, and therefore Reuben does Yibum or Chalitza with her. So the Gemara says, "V'apilu kana tzolot seif gerash." So the implication seems to be that that applies even if even if the one who did yibum did yibum and then afterwards did he divorce the one who's related to him. So in other words, there was a point before they were divorced where the two of them were tzaris, and still were saying that because at the time of Nefila, because of the time when her husband passed away, they weren't tzaras anymore, then they're not considered, she's not considered a tzaras erva, and therefore yibum or chalitza is needed. However, the Gemara says, Reminu, I have a contradiction from a Mishnah later on in our Masech. It says, Gimel Achim, if you have three brothers, Shnaimem Nesuim Beza Choyes Ve'echad Nosui Nochris, two of them are married to two sisters, and the other one is married to an unrelated woman. Like we said before, Nochris in our Masechta many times doesn't mean a goita, it just means unrelated. Gerash Echa Mibale Achoyas Ishtoi. Suppose that one of the ones married to, suppose that one of the ones married to the sisters divorced his wife, then the one who was married to the unrelated woman also died. He now died. The konsam garish, and the one who divorced his wife did yibum with her, umes, and then he died. So in other words, let's look at the scenario in more detail. Let's look at the diagram 59. Diagram 60. Diagram 60. Shimon and Levi are married to two sisters, Rachel and Leah. Reuben is married to an unrelated woman called Sila. Shimon divorced Rachel. Then Reuben died, and Shimon did Yibum with Tila. Now, when Shimon dies, then you have Levi himself is still married to Leah. At this point, Rachel is out of the picture because Shimon had divorced her. So therefore, Levi can do Yibum with Tila because the fact that at one point. The fact that at one point she was the wife of the same man as his wife's sister, who was Rachel, that doesn't matter because Rachel was divorced beforehand. So the order of events was that Shimon divorced Rachel, Shimon divorced Rachel. Then Reuben died, who was married to the unrelated woman. Then Shimon did Yibum with her. And now Shimon dies. And now we're saying, only because it's in that order, the Mishnah says, Zui Shomru, that is what the case that the Chachamim said in our Mishnah, She Mesu and Iskarshu, Tzareseh and Mutaris, that if the one who was an Erva, in this case, Rachel is an Erva to Levi, since her sister Leah is married to him, then Tzareseh and Mutaris, then their Tzara is Mutar, meaning, in other words, that we're not worried about the fact that Sila previously was a Tzara of Rachel, because Rachel was already divorced and was out of the picture by the time it comes up for Levi to do Yibum. So, time of Mesu and time of Degira Shvach Kakonas. So the implication seems to be that only because it was in that order, first Shimon divorced Rachel, then he did Yibum with Sila. Only because of that are we saying that it's okay for Levi to do Yibum with Tzila. The implication seems to be, though, from that Mishnah, that if it was the other way around, if Reuben had died and Shimon did Yibum with Tzila, so that there's a point when Tzila and Rachel are both his tzaris, and Rachel, after all, is an erva to Levi, and then Shimon divorces Rachel, it sounds like from that Mishnah that Tzila is still considered a tzaras erva, and therefore that Levi doesn't do Yibum with her. So what is it? So the implication seems to be that in that case it wouldn't work. But our Mishnah seems to be implying that it doesn't matter what the order was, whether he did Yibum with the new wife and then with the wife, whether he did Yibum and then divorced the erva, or vice versa. Either way, it sounds like from our Mishnah that it doesn't matter. So Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah Tavra. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says it's a contradiction. Misha Shona Zu Lo Shona Zu. Apparently, the Tana that taught one Brisa did not teach the other Mishnah. These are two different Tanoim who have different opinions on the subject. The word Tavra literally means breakage. So it means, in other words, like there's a break over here. There's a contradiction that we can't resolve. Yes, I mean that also Tavra is a lashon of a shvua. Whatever it is, so therefore there's a clear contradiction. Yes, you have the two Mishnayos obviously disagree. High Tana Sova Misim Apelas, but High Tana Sova Nisuin Harishonim Apelim. So what you have is what? How do we look at it? Do we look at that? So one Tana holds Misim, the Tana of our Mishnah, which says that it doesn't make a difference. Hold Misim Apelas. What makes it? What creates this? What creates the conditions for Yibum? What the conditions are when the husband dies? So therefore, in our scenario over here, when Shimon dies, Rachel is divorced from him. So it doesn't matter whether he divorced Rachel and then did Yibum with Tzila or vice versa. Either way, Misa Mapelas, what triggers the Yibum is when the husband dies, and therefore that's what we care about, what the circumstances were when he died. We don't care that earlier in his life there was some other situation.
Whereas the Tana of the Mishnah later on in the third parak holds that the Nisuin of the Shonim, or that the first marriage is what it is Mapilim. Now, obviously, of course, Yibum is not going to happen until he actually dies. But in other words, the conditions for Yibum, we have to look at how things were during her marriage. Actually, Tosfos says, strictly speaking, we don't really need to say the word Harishonim. Later on, towards the end of the Masechta, we have cases over there. We have a case over there where it's relevant to talk about Nisuin Harishonim versus Shniim. But over here it's not really relevant. But still, the Gemara uses the same expression. So the Tana of that Mishnah in the third parak holds that we have to look at how things were when she first got married. Then that's the beginning of the trigger of Yibum. So therefore, we have to take into consideration how things were when she got married. Well, then, in that case, when Tzila, in that case, if Shimon did Yibum with Tzila and only later divorced Rachel, well, then at the time Tzila got married, she was a Tzaras Erva, and therefore the Tana of that Mishnah will hold that then she's not up for Chalitza or Yibum. Therefore, it would have to be according to the Tana of that Mishnah. According to the Tana of that Mishnah, then. It would have to be, we're holding on your Gimel, on the Bays, a few lines before, about a little more than halfway down the Amud. So if we say Nisuin or Shonim Apilim, then what it means is that again, as if when Sila did Yibum with Shimon, we're looking at diagram 60 in the booklet, then at the time she was married, at the time of her Nisuin, she was a Tzaras Erva, because her Tzara was Rachel, who was the sister of Leah, Levi's wife. Therefore, the Tana of that Mishnah will hold no good, no Yibum. Whereas the Tana of our Mishnah holds, it doesn't matter, Misa Mapelas, we look at the situation when her husband Shimon died, and at that point he was already divorced from Rachel. So that's Rabbi Yumi's way of reconciling it. Rava Amar La'olam Chad Tana. Who Rava says you could actually say both Mishnayos are according to one Tana. V'zu ve'en sarach loyma zu katani. So the Mishnah is just giving us one of these things. This, and needless to say, this. Sometimes the Tana will do that. Sometimes the Tana will tell us the bigger chiddush, and then also and naturally, of course, the lesser chiddush as well. So here he's saying in our Mishnah that even if he did Yibum with Tzila and only then divorced Rachel, then nevertheless Tzila is still allowed in Yibum to Levi. And how much more so if he had divorced Rachel before he ever did Yibum with Tzila? So they could both be from the same time. Okay. Then the Mishnah had said, "B'chol she'yichol l'mayin." We said any case where the Tzara could have done, and we said in the Mishnah, any case where the Tzara, not the Tzara, where the Erva could have done miyun, namely where she was married as a ketana in a way that her nisuin are only dirabon, where kedushin are only dirabon, where we said either that her father is dead and her mother or brothers or whoever married her off, which then that exists only dirabon and she can do miyun, or the other possibility is Rashi mentioned on the Mishnah and also on the previous Gemara over here that she can be yisayma b'chaye ha'av, where she was previously married as a ketana, then widowed or divorced, and now her father has no more reshus over her, and therefore he can't accept kedushin on her behalf. Or actually, it could even be that So she was divorced as a ketana, and now her father has no more reshus on her, so now she can do miyun again. So the Mishnah had said if she could have done miyun and she didn't, then tsarasa chiletzes v'loimis yabemes, because so then her tsara, so now the issue is her tsara has a zika on a daraisa level, because on a daraisa level she's not tsaras era, seeing as how the nisuin of this girl was only dirabanan. However, midrabanan, we don't want the tsara to be doing yibum, because after all she seems like the tsara of an era, because it's not so obvious to people that this girl's marriage was only dirabanan. Therefore, the tsara is going to have to do chalitza. She can't do yibum. So on a daraisa level, she could have done either. But dirabanan, the problem is you have a zika, so it has to be taken away by chalitza. But you can't do yibum because of that problem that she appears like tsaras erva. So the Gemara asks, utamayin hashtavet isyabim. Why can't she do miyun now after her husband is dead? and let her say to begin with, I never wanted to be married to this guy in the first place. So Miun takes away the whole marriage. It makes it as though she was not married at all. And then Betisyabim, and then her tzara will be able to do Yibum. Because now her tzara never was the tzara of an error. The fact that we're saying that she can't, says the Gemara, lema messiah le Rav Oshia, does that mean that our Mishnah supports what Rav Oshia says? The Amar Rav Oshia, mema enes lema amoro ve'enem mema enes lezikosei. Later on, in one of the last parakim of our Masechta, we're going to have a whole the 13th parak. We're going to have a whole parak on the dinim of miun. So you have a case over there where. Now we talked about yesterday, and we're going to talk about in more detail later in the Masechta about the concept of minor. Midaraisa, all you need is bia for the yibum to take effect. Yuvama yavayaleh. Midrabanan, he has to do kiddushin with her. Kiddushin when it comes to yibum is not called kiddushin; it's called mimer. But it's the same thing. It means that he gives her kesef or shtar, as a case may be. So now that mimer does not, it's not effective on a daraisa level. Of course, it's only drabanan. Therefore, it doesn't take away the zika like real yibum would. Real yibum would take away the zika in the sense that now, at that point, if her husband dies or divorces her, or dies with children or divorces her, then she's allowed to marry anybody she wants. Maimer doesn't accomplish that. On the other hand, Maimer does make that the midrabanan, now she has a closer connection with this yibum, with this yavam, than she otherwise would. So now, Rav Oshia said that suppose this girl is a ketana, and so she's up for yibum. Suppose that the yavam did mimer and did not yet do actual yibum with her. Then she does miun. So Rav Oshia says, "Mama enes lama amoroi, who miun is effective only in taking away the mimer, so it brings her back to the way it was originally. She's only at the regular level of zika to all the brothers." The aim of my enes lezikosei, who miun is not effective to take away the zika. So therefore, what will happen is that chalitza could still be done. Maybe even yibum could be done. But at any rate, chalitza definitely would have to be done because she needs zika. Now Rashi points out, we're going to learn later on in our Masechta that you have a case. If you had a parallel case with an older girl who's already bas mitzvah, who's already a gedola, then we would say that you need both. She'd need a get to take away the mimer and chalitza to take away the zika. But over here, the miun takes away the mimer. You don't need a get for that. So therefore, she doesn't need a get. She's only going to need chalitza. Now, Rav Oshia is saying that it sounds like our Mishnah is supporting him, because our Mishnah doesn't give the option of her doing miun and then say that now her tzara will be able to do yibum. The implication is, even if she does miun, all that accomplishes is to take away, that still doesn't accomplish to take away the zika, which is what Rav Oshia is saying. And the answer is loy. Not necessarily is that a valid influence. Tzaras erba shayni. You could say it's different when she's the tzara of an erva, where then, even if she does miun in that particular case, the chachamim are not going to allow that to take away the din of tzaras erva. The Toni Rami by Yechezkel, as we learn in a braisa, which we learned yesterday in the Gemara, mia nebabal muteres la'aviv. Suppose that in a regular case, suppose that a katana was married to a man and then she did miun with him, then his father would be allowed to marry her, even though up until now she was his daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law is an isser kores and isser skila. But now that she did miun, then her whole marriage is dissolved as if it never existed. Therefore, she's not his daughter-in-law. Therefore, she's mutter to him. But Rami Bar Yechezkel continues, mia nebi yavam asur la'aviv. But if she did miun with her yavam, then she's also to his father. So Alma Mashas Nefila Niras Kekalosid. The problem there is because as soon as she becomes eligible for Yibum, it appears like she's still considered his daughter-in-law. So the fact that later on she does miun and undoes her marriage to begin with doesn't change anything. Still, at the time of Nefila, she was his daughter-in-law. And therefore, the Chachamim said that she retains that Isser afterwards as well. So Hochanami, Mishas Nefila, Niris Katsoras Bitoy, the same thing over here. When Nefila takes place, when she becomes eligible for Yibum, then at this point she seems then that Tsara still seems like a Tsara of his daughter. Yes, later on his daughter does Miun. And therefore, on the face of it, that takes away the entire marriage, and now her tzara was not the tzara of an erva. Still, the same gzera d'rabbanan applies, and therefore we say again, being only a gzera d'rabbanan, it can't take away the zika d'araisa. Therefore, the tzara is going to need chalitza, but she can't do yibum because of this gzera, because we don't want people to think that the tzara of an erva is in fact allowed in Yibum, when in fact it's not, according to Beis Hillel, which we're going to talk about now, which is the halacha, then it would actually be an Isur Kares. So we don't want, so therefore we make a Gzeira not to do it even when the Tzara is a Katana and didn't do Miun. So we don't allow her to do Miun after the fact. But as we say, as we learned in the Gemara yesterday, if she did Miun while her husband was alive, then yeah, then we say that at the time when her husband died, her tzara is no longer the tzara of an erva, therefore there's a regular zika, and therefore chalitza or yibum are done as usual. Okay, the Mishnah says, now, so in the first Mishnah, we learned that there are chamesh esrei nashim, there are 15 women where they can be married, and then the Gemara here and there, we talk about various other cases that we can add to the 15 anyway, where a woman is married kadasa kadin to one of the brothers, but then if Yibum comes up, then she comes out being an erva to another one of the brothers, and we say that she and her tzara are potter, etc. So the Mishnah continues, Shesh arayas chamuris me'evil. Now there are six arayas that are more stringent than those, the nation is suis la'acherim, because they can only be married to others, they cannot be married to his brother from his father's side. So therefore, therefore, if it happened that the brother was over and married one of these six, then the tzara, and he has also another wife, then that tzara, that other wife, will be mutter, will have a regular zika, and chalitza or yibum will have to be done, because we can't say that the whole tour that we said, that an erva patos or tzara, is only when that erva was allowed to be married to only one kedushin or tofus in that erva to the other brother. So to take the first example of the previous Mishnah, when Shimon is married to Reuven's daughter, and then Shimon dies, Shimon was perfectly allowed al pi halacha to marry Reuven's daughter. On the other hand, the six cases of our Mishnah over here, then Shimon is not allowed to marry any of these six women who are, because they're erves not only to Reuven, they're also an erva to him. The first one is Imai, is his mother. So we can look at the diagram. We have diagram 61, for example. So Chana has a son. Chana has a son, Reuven, from a previous marriage. She marries Moshe. Moshe has another wife named Esther. If now Moshe dies, then so Esther now let's Chana and Esther couldn't have been married to any brother of Reuven, because one is because either she'd be Reuven's, or either she'd be the brother's own mother, or she'd be the wife of his father, and either way that would be Osir. So therefore, so she could only be married to somebody else. For example, Moshe is unrelated to Reuven, or at least is not a brother to Reuven, and therefore Reuven is allowed to marry Esther. But let's say, for example, that Moshe had been Reuven's brother, and he married this Chana Be'isser, or he married Chana, fine, Beheter, but so that's the point, in other words. So let's draw out this case a little more carefully. In this particular case, Chana, who's Reuven's mother, and Esther, Esther or her tzara, are both married to somebody unrelated. But let's say, for example, that Reuven had a brother Shimon, both of whom are Moshe's sons. And so, let's say, for example, Moshe had been married to Chana and to Esther, and now afterwards, after Moshe dies, Shimon is over and marries one of those women, or marries both of them for that matter. Then we would say he wasn't allowed to be married to either one of them. So therefore, both of those are wives of his father. But if, let's say, then he had another wife of his own, then we would say that she's not a tzaras erva because neither Chana or Esther was he allowed to be married to, because there's an iser kares one because both of them are his father's wives. That's what we mean by imur. We discussed in the Gemara previously, actually, that we had Levi had pointed out that it depends according to the Chachamim against Rabbi Yehuda. We said if in this scenario Chana hadn't been married to Moshe Reuven's father, but rather had been raped by him, then in fact she wouldn't be considered. Then she's an heir to Reuven because she's his mother, but she wouldn't be an heir to Reuven's brother because that's anusas aviv. And we discussed that back and forth in the Gemara. But definitely, if she was married, so we would either have to say that imoy over here means where there was a marriage, or according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would mean even if there was oinus. Anyway, that's the first one. The eishes aviv. The second one is his father's wife. Similar idea. Because again, so according to the Gemara, we said before, imoy would in fact mean that we're talking about that. So we're talking. We said that the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yehuda. So imoy would mean that she's Reuven's mother, and Reuven was conceived through oinus. And then Eishes Aviv would be where she was married, where she was married to Reuven's father. The Achos Aviv, another one is his father's sister, because again, if one of the brothers marries his father's sister, which is an erva to him, then she's equally well an erva to all the brothers. So therefore, it's not one of the Chamesh Esrei Nashim. It's one of the ones in our Mishnah. She doesn't pass her Hotzara. Achoise Me'aviv. The next one is his father from his sister's side, his sister from his father's side, rather. So again, she's equally well a sister from the father's side to all the brothers. So you have the same problem. She's an erva to each one of them. The Eishes Achi Aviv, the wife of the father's brother, same idea. The Eishes Achiv Me'aviv, and the wife of his brother from the wife of his brother from his father's side. So all those cases then. So in all those cases, they were an erva to begin with when they got married to the first husband, unlike the Chamesh Esrei Nashim, which are mutar to the first husband. Therefore, the p'tur of tzara doesn't apply to them, and they need chalitza or yibum, and therefore the tzara needs chalitza or yibum as usual. And vice versa, it also means that if they were married to somebody else, unrelated, then you're allowed to marry those tzaras, because then there's no yibum. There's no yibum, and we've learned before that when there's no yibum, then the tzara of an erva is mutter. So, meaning, in other words, for example, in the first case we had over here, and for example, Imoy with diagram 61, if in fact Moshe and Reuven are not brothers, and Moshe was married to both Chana, who's Reuven's mother, as well as Esther, then after Moshe dies, Reuven would perfectly be allowed to marry Esther because she's not considered a tzara of an erva, because the whole concept of a tzara of an erva only applies in a case of yibum. So the Mishnah continues. Now, all of this that we've been saying so far, that tzaras erva is osir, potter from chalitza and yibum, and osir, in fact, that's only according to Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says that in all these cases of tzores, they are in fact mutter. So, for example, in the first example of the previous Mishnah, where Shimon is married to Reuven's daughter, and he's also married to an unrelated woman, so Beis Hillel would be the ones who said that both of those women are potter from chalitza and yibum to Reuven, one because she's his daughter and one because she's the tzara of his daughter. Beis Shammai disagrees on that second part. They'd say the one who is his daughter, Rachel, sure, is also in yibum. Of course, she's his daughter. But the tzara would be mutter. And yibum or chalitza would have to be done. Where Beis Hillel says that it's osir. And we said before that, so therefore, the previous Mishnah was according to Beis Hillel. Continues the Mishnah, Choltzu, what happens if this tzara does chalitza? Then it's the other way around. Then Beis Shammai, so the Beis Shammai posts the Minah Kohuna, or Beis Hillel Machshir. So then Beis Shammai will say she's possible to ever marry a Kohen because the chalitza was a valid chalitza. So in other words, in that scenario, in any of the scenarios of the Chamesh Esrei Nashim, again, take the first one where Shimon was married to Rachel, Reuven's daughter, as well as to an unrelated woman. Given that Beis Shammai says that there is a Zika with Miriam, unlike Beis Hillel says there's no Zika at all, then therefore, if Reuven does Chalitza with Miriam, then you have the usual rule. Chalitza is also to marry a Kohen. Beis Hillel would say she's kosher because it was an unnecessary chalitza. There was no zika here in the first place. So therefore, the chalitza would be the equivalent of an unrelated man and woman doing chalitza where nothing happened. Then on the other hand, nisyabnu, what happens if Miriam does yibum with Reuben and Beis Shammai is saying you're supposed to do that, you're allowed to do that, and you're supposed to, and Beis Hillel would say that it's an error, so Beis Shammai machshu and Beis Hillel postlin. So Beis Shammai would say that this woman in the future would be able to marry a kohen. If let's say then, if so she was married to Shimon, this Miriam was married to Shimon. Later on, Shimon died. So according to Beis Shammai, we don't say the concept of Tzoras Erva. So Miriam does Yibum with Reuven. If now, later on, Reuven dies, and let's say he had children, or let's say there's no other brothers, so now she's allowed to marry anybody else, then Beis Shammai would say she can marry a Kohen. No problem. All of her Nisuin so far were Beheter, or Beis Hillel Poslin, whereas Beis Hillel would say she's Posel, because at this point she becomes a Zoina in Halacha, which we're going to talk about in more detail later on in the Masechta. But anytime she had relations with somebody who was also to her, in particular with an Isu Kores or Missus Bastin, as it is over here, because after all, a brother's wife, when there's no Yibum, is an Isu Kores. So Beis Hillel would say that Reuben and Miriam have done an Isu Kores. Therefore, this Miriam, even when Reuben dies, is going to be also to a Kohen on the grounds of a Zoina. So the Gemara, the Mishnah continues, Afa Pisha Elo Ostrin, Ve'elo Matirin, Elo Poslin, Ve'elo Machshirin, even though, as we have in this example, where Beis Shammai is saying that something that someone is, even though, for example, Beis Hillel is saying that it's also to do Yibum, and Beis Hillel says it's Matir, or Elo Poslin, Ve'elo Machshirin, or we're saying that if they did Yibum, then Beis Hillel is saying they're possible to ever marry a Kohen, and Beis Shammai says they're not, that they're kosher. Even though they had these fundamental machlokas in loy nimnu Beis Shammai milisim noshim Beis Hillel v'loy Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, nevertheless Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel did not avoid marrying into each other's families. Now you think about it. If let's say, for example, so let's say Reuben ends up doing Yibum with Miriam, like Beis Shammai holds, then according to Beis Shammai, the children are perfectly kosher. That Yibum was allowed. According to Beis Hillel, it would be a case of Isur Kares, because she's Tzoras Erva, and Beis Hillel holds that Tzoras Erva is off limits. Therefore, Beis Hillel would say that those children from such a Yibum, from such a non-Yibum, as they would think of it, are Mamzerim. Now, you're not allowed to marry a Mamzer. Nevertheless, Beis Hillel would not avoid marrying women from Beis Shammai and vice versa, because they would inform them. They knew they could rely on, if a man from Beis Hillel wants to marry a woman from Beis Shammai or vice versa, then they knew that they would, they knew that each, that the other one would tell them all the relevant details. So the man from Beis Shammai would say, for example, you want to marry my daughter, you should know that my daughter is born from a Yibum that you hold, that you, Beis Hillel, hold as Aser, and according to you, she would be a Mamzeris. And therefore, Beis Hillel would, and therefore the guy from Beis Hillel would know not to make the Shidduch. And therefore, if they didn't tell him, then he knows that he can rely that everything is on the up and up, because otherwise they would have told him. And similarly, continues the Mishnah, similarly, all the cases where, in case of Tumah V'Tahara, where Beis Hillel holds something as Tohar and Beis Shammai holds that it's Tomei, or vice versa, lo nimnu oisin taris elo agave elu, they still did have no problem making taris one based on the other. In other words, one group could lend their kalim to the other, for example, and not have a problem, because again, they knew they could rely on each other, that if there was any kind of problem, the other one would inform them. So, you know, you have, for example, the halachas as far as Dmai and as far as Hilchas Tumah V'Tahara that we talked about at the end of Masechta Chagiga, where, for example, just because an Amoretz tells you that something is Tohar or that something is Maisud or whatever, you can't necessarily rely on him. But now the Mishnah is telling us with Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, it wasn't like that, that you could rely on them. And if the man from Beis Shammai doesn't say something to the man from Beis Hillel, or vice versa, then you know that there's no problem, because if they knew what each other's opinions in halacha were, and they knew that if there's any kind of problem, they would inform them. So the Gemara starts off. Omer Rav Shimon Pazi, my time at the Beis Shammai. Why does Beis Shammai say that Tzoras Erva is mutter? A lot of times in our sugya, throughout the next couple of blot, we're going to call it Tzoras Erva. Sometimes we're going to call it more specifically Tzoras Habas, because the Bas is the first one of the Chamesh Esrei Noshim, and therefore we use that as kind of a shorthand to stand in for all the other Arayos. So why does Beis Shammai say that the Tzora of the Erva is Mutter? In other words, that in our scenario over here, for example, that Miriam should be allowed in Yibum to Reuben, unlike Beis Hillel. So in fact, the Tosfos says, I mean, so now, like this, we learned before from the word litzer that it includes tzoros. So now, if the shama is going to hold that it means something else, then they must have some source for that. So dichtiv loisia eishes hameis hachutzal leish zor. The pasuk says that when the man dies without children, then the wife of the dead man should not go hachutza, should not go outward and marry somebody else, the ish zor, to an unrelated man, meaning she needs chalitza or yibum. But the expression hachutza means the word hachutza, which means going outward, can also mean the outer one, meaning chutza meklal de'ikapnimis. So Beis Shammai says the word hachutza implies that you have two wives over here. You have one which is chutza; she's outside of the family, she's unrelated to any. She's unrelated to any of the other to any of the brothers. And the meklal de'ikapnimis implying that there is an inner one who is actually related. But Amar Nachman Loisia, and the pasuk says she's not allowed to marry anybody else. So in other words, Beis Shammai says the word hachutza is actually referring to the tzara, and the Torah is telling us that tzara can't marry anybody else without yibum or chalitza. Therefore, there's a zika with the tzara. Ubis Hillel. Now, what does Beis Hillel answer to that? They say they use the word hachutza to teach us what Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rav, Da'amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Minayin Shein Kiddushin Tofsin B'Yavama. How do we know, suppose that the Yavama has not done Yibum or Chalitza, what if she goes and accepts Kiddushin from another unrelated man? How do we know, says Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, that Kiddushin are not Tofis? Now, usually you would think it would. After all, Kiddushin aren't Tofis, according to most Tanoim, in cases of Kores or Mrs. Bastin, but not in the case of an Isu Lav. Here it's only an Isu Lav for her to marry somebody else. So on the face of it, Kiddushin ought to take effect. But Rabbi Yehuda tells us in the name of Rab that they do not. And the reason is Shenema Loisia Aishas Ames Tachutza Leishzar. It says the wife of the dead man should not go out. She should not be hachutza outward leishzar to an unrelated man, which means the word loisia means loisia bahavaya. It should be impossible for there to be havaya meaning kiddushin. So therefore, kiddushin are not toifas. So in fact, by the way, later on, in our masechta, when we're going to have a sugya on this topic of a yibama that was miskadish to somebody else before yibum or chalitza, we're going to have a discussion about it in the 10th parak of our masechta, and we're going to discuss whether in fact kiddushin are toifas or not. Here we're going according to the opinion that they're not. Anyway, we learn that from that word loisia and hachutza. So therefore, we need the word hachutza for that din. Ubes Shammai, so what does Beis Shammai answer to that? They say miksiv lachutz. After all, the pasuk doesn't say lachutz, which means to the outside. Chutzaksiv. It says the outward one, which means the one who's outward, the one who's unrelated to the one who's unrelated to any of the brothers, which would be the tzara. Ubes Hillel, what does Beis Hillel answer to that? They say kivin dichtiv chutza, kaman dichtiv lachutz. Doesn't matter. Once it says chutza, it's the equivalent of saying lachutz. So here it says hachutz, actually. So what it means is really, in other words, it means el hachutz. For example, Tosfos brings, you have, let's say, the word hamidbara, where it's the equivalent of saying le hamidbar, or for short, la midbar, which would be to the midbar. So in other words, the hay at the end is the equivalent of a lamed at the beginning. And then if you have a hay at the beginning as well, then it's the equivalent of that lamed having a patach, meaning to the. So once it says hachutz, it's the equivalent of saying lachutz, to the outside. Any time in the Torah where you need a lamed at the beginning of a word to mean true, instead hit the lakot of hey v'sofa. Instead, the pasuk puts a hey on the end, and it has the same meaning. And we learn in a braise in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel. Here's a bunch of examples. You're going Elim Elima. For example, there's a name of a place called Elim, and the pasuk says that the Jewish people came Elima, which means true Elim. Machanayim, it says Machanayma, Mitzrayim, Mitzrayma, Divlosayma, where the name of the place is actually Divlosayim, Yerushalayma, where the name of the place is Yerushalayim, and Midbara. So all of those are examples of places where we have a hey at the end, and it's the equivalent of a lamed at the beginning. So Beis Hillel would say, So Basila would say that the words loisia are coming to teach us that there's no kiddushin possible with the eishes ameis until she does chalitza yibum. So the machlokes wasn't on the word chutza yet, on the word hachutza. That we're gonna deal with next. First, we're dealing with the fact that it says in the pasuk loisia, where Beis Shammai says loisia means she's not allowed to marry anybody else, and they learn that hachutza means the tzara. And therefore, it says she's not allowed to marry anybody else. Beis Hillel says, no, the word hachutza doesn't mean the tzara. It means, well, it does. It means any of the Yavamas. It doesn't mean specifically the tzara. It means any of the Yavamas who are up, who have a zika. And loisia means kedushin is not possible with them. As long as there's a zika, nobody else is able to be mekadesh them and have it take effect. And the hachutza just means that she's not allowed to go outward to the outside and marry somebody else. It doesn't mean the chitzona, it doesn't mean the outer woman, the tzara, like you, Beis Shammai, are saying. Okay, so the Gemara says, Beis Shammai, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav Manolahu. Well, Beis Shammai, we can assume, agrees with Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav's did, that if you're Makadish a Yavama before she has chalitza or yibum, then it's not toifus. Where do they learn that from? He's saying that Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav is learning it from the word loisia. But if Beis Shammai is using the word loisia to teach us that the tzara herself is not allowed to do anything, even though she's a tzaras erva, so then where do they learn Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav's din? They say mil ish zor nafka. They learn it from the fact that pasuk continues to an unrelated man. So that means that if she does kiddushin with an unrelated man, it doesn't work. So the question is, Beis Hillel nami typically mil ish zor knew. Why doesn't Beis Hillel learn it from there as well? And the answer is Eino Chanami. You're right. They can, in fact, learn it from the Ishzar. Chutza lamali. So why would the Pasuk have to say the word chutza? Beis Hillel would say, L'rabis ha'arusa. It comes to include also if she was widowed from Erusin. Now, all this time, we're talking about where her husband had actually done Erusin and Nisuin with her, and then he died childless. Then we're saying she needs chalitza or yibum. Without a pasuk to tell us, we wouldn't know. The same thing applies if only Erusin was done. The word chutzah teaches us that even though she was only an arusa, she still needs yibum or chalitza. Chutzah implies, Rashi says chitzona, she's still outside in the sense she's not yet in her husband's house, she's not yet with her husband, they haven't yet had bia, because she was only Erusin, and still the pasuk is saying chutzah, that she also needs chalitza or yibum. The idach, so what does Beis Shammai answer to that? They say michutzah hachutzah. They say, because it could have said, loisia eishes hameis chutzah le'ishzar, and instead it says ha-chutzah, so therefore you can learn both things. You can learn that she herself, if she's an arusa, still requires, and she herself, therefore, is still chutzah to her husband, is still requires chalitza yibum. And we can also learn that it means chutzah, as in the chitzayna, as in the unrelated tzara. The one where her tzara is an erva, but she herself is ha-chutzah, she herself is outside the family. You can learn both. The idach, the Hillel would answer that. Chutzah, ha-chutzah, le-mashmalu. They don't hold that that's a significant difference, that it could have said chutzah and instead it says ha-chutzah. So they don't learn from that extra, hey. So, it's not always. Sometimes the Hillel themselves will hold that you do learn something from an extra letter like that. But in this particular case, they hold that it's not significant. And each case has to be dealt with on its own merits. So all of that is one reason based on Drashas of Psukim that Beis Shammai holds that Soras Erva is Mutter and Yibum, and Beis Hillel says it's also. So in short, Beis Shammai is saying, Beis Shammai is learning the pasuk as follows: Loisia eishes hameis hachutza leishzor. We learn like this: Loisia means that any yavama who's not an erva is not allowed to marry anybody else without, as long as there's a zika. Eishes hameis hachutza means two things: it means even when she's an arusa, and it means when she is a tzoras erva, she's still under the rule of loisia. And leishzor teaches us that if she does marry somebody else, the kedushin are ineffective. Beis Hillel rather learns that loisia means kedushin are not effective. Beis Hillel actually says also loisia means that we don't have to learn the word loisia means that kedushin are not, yeah, loisia means kedushin are not effective, the loitei bahavaya. Eishes Hameis. Hachutza means, according to Beis Hillel, only one thing, that it means that she's an arusa. She's still chutza to her husband. And she's not allowed, le'ishazur, she's not allowed to marry an unrelated man. And if she does, then kedushin are not effective. Okay. Rava omer taimayu de Beis Shammai. Rava says a different reason for Beis Shammai's shita. Ge'ein isur chal al isur. Beis Shammai holds one isur cannot be chal on top of another one. So the fact that Rachel in our scenario over here was already also to Reuben as his daughter, so now the issue of Eshes Ach cannot be chal on her. So therefore, she is out of the picture completely. It's as if she doesn't exist. And the same thing with all the other 14 cases. So now Rashi explains this is how after the Gemara is going to go back with a little bit of give and take, then we're going to come to that understanding of Rava. Right now, when Rava first says this, we don't quite understand that that's what Rava means. But that's what we're going to say in the end, that that's what Rava means. So ein isur chal al isur, the isur of eishes och cannot be chal on top of the existing isur. So the Gemara didn't know to begin with that we're talking about all the 15 women. The Gemara thought that concept could apply only when both Isurim were created by marriage. So the Gemara says, Tena chena denosa mes ba'achakach nosa chai. Well, in that case, that would work when it comes to his wife's sister. If his brother was married to his wife's sister. So now we can look at diagram 67. Where Reuven was married to, so Shimon is married to Leah, Reuven is married to Rachel, who is Leah's sister, as well as an unrelated woman, Miriam. So if the order was that first Reuven married Rachel, where at that point Rachel is, where Rachel is then also to Shimon because she's his brother's wife, and only then Shimon marries Leah, her sister, then you can say, then you say the Isser, according to Beis Shammai, of the fact that she's his wife's sister cannot be chal on top of the fact that she's already his brother's wife. Therefore, Beis Shammai would say, look, when Reuven first married Rachel, and afterwards it doesn't really matter, he's married to Miriam as well, who's unrelated. Fine. So we would say Rachel is Eishes Achiv. The fact that later on she also becomes Achos Ishtoi, Beis Shammai would say, is neither here nor there. We would ignore that because she's already also as Eishes Ach. So once Reuven dies and the Isser of Eishes Ach goes away, then there's no remaining Isser on Rachel. And therefore, so fine, Rachel herself maybe is not up for Yibum because the fact is, right now, a new Issur comes into play that she's his wife's sister. But on the other hand, Miriam, at least, should not be considered the tzara of an era. So fine, that works. Ela nosa chai v'achakach nosa mes. But if it was the other way around, if Shimon married first and then Reuben, that's the next diagram, 68. So Shimon married Leah. Later on, Reuben, and then at that point, Rachel becomes also to Shimon because she's his wife's sister. And then later on, Reuben marries Rachel and also Miriam. Achos Isha Kadim. So then the Isser of Rachel as Shimon's wife's sister comes first. And kivendalei osi isur eishes och v'chayela isur achos isha. So now, if you're going to say that the isur, of a brother's wife cannot be chal on the isur of achos isha, havelet tzoras erva shloi b'makom mitzvah, then in effect, Miriam is considered the tzora of an erva where there's no yibum possible because Rachel is not even considered relative to Shimon, is not considered his brother's wife. V'sharia. And therefore she should be mutter. The havilat soras erva is actually that's what it is. In other words, so then she'd be considered like an unrelated woman. So therefore she should be mutter. But that doesn't help us for the case where, for example, the erva was his daughter, the issur exists independently of her marriage. So later on, the Gemara is going to go back to that and explain that what Rava means is it's not even a question of what the order of things was. Ultimately, it's the order that uh, That, oh yeah, what we're saying is because ein isur halal isur, therefore once there was an isur of some other kind, then Bishama would say that and this is Rabbi is explaining, once there's an isur of some other kind, then she's out of the picture. It's considered as though she doesn't exist at all. Therefore, there's no tzaras erva at all. Later on, the Gemara is going to end up explaining that's what Rabbi means. So that's another reason for Beis Shammai's opinion, because we consider that the erva as if she doesn't exist at all. So therefore, so it comes out in these scenarios over here, it comes out Shimon was married to Leah, Reuben was married to Miriam, who's unrelated. Okay, well then unrelated means that she can do Yibum just like any other unrelated woman. Then we said in the Mishnah, Chotza Beis Shammai post the Mechola, we said if the women did Chalitza, then Beis Shammai would say that if the woman, the Tzoras Erva, did Chalitza, Beis Shammai would say she's possible to marry a Kohen, because Chalitza is possible to marry a Kohen. Ed Beis Hillel says she's kosher to marry a Kohen, because the Chalitza is ineffective. So he must say, Pshita, well, obviously, we know that a Chalitza, that doesn't mean anything, doesn't passel her to a Kohen. Tosfos, by the way, points out that Rashi explained she'd be possible to marry a Kohen, however, she'd still be allowed to eat Truma if her husband had been a Kohen. That's the case where she did Yibum, rather. Where if she did Yibum, then Beis Hillel would say that she's a Zoyna, so she's possible from marrying a Kohen. However, Rashi said she'd be allowed to eat Truma. Tosfos says that no, if she's a Zoyna, she's also to eat Truma as well. And in fact, Rashi himself later on changed his mind as well. But anyway. Okay, so in our Mishnah, when we said that if they do Chalitza, Beis Shammai says she's possible to marry a Kohen because of the Chalitza, Beis Hillel says she's kosher because the Chalitza doesn't mean anything. I said, Pita, well, obviously it was a Chalitza that didn't mean anything according to Beis Hillel because no Chalitza was necessary. There was no Zikr. The answer is, La'apuki did Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri. Our Mishnah wants to tell us not like Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri. He says, given that we have this machloikas with Shammai Beis Hillel, and we don't know what to do, so he says, come, let's make a takana regarding these tzoris of an erva, that they should do chalitza, because obviously they can't do yibum, because according to Beis Hillel, she'd be considered an erva, so, but at least let's have them do chalitza. So Kamash Malon, Beis Hillel Machshirin. Therefore, our Mishnah is telling us that no, Beis Hillel didn't even require Dirabanan that they should require Chalitza. According to Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, we would say they require Chalitza Dirabanan, then they're going to be possible to marry Kohenim Dirabanan. But according to what we're saying, that's only according to Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, but Beis Hillel themselves wouldn't even require that. They would say it's perfectly fine to do without Chalitza at all, because it's not even necessary. There's no Zika at all. And therefore, if they did Chalitza, then it makes no difference and she's still Mutter to a Kohen. And then when the Mishnah had said, Nisyabmu, Beis Hillel post them, Chola, that if they do Yibum, Beis Hillel would say she's possible to marry a Kohen. So the question is, Hotu Lamali, what do we need to add that? We know that Beis Hillel says she's also to do Yibum, and she'd be an Erva if she does, and it would be Arayas, it would be an Isu Koretz if she does. And the answer is, okay, I do Tani Choltsu, Tananami Nisyabmu. Okay, once the Mishnah says Choltsu, and we have to say that because of the Chiddush, we just said that we don't say, according to Beis Hillel, there should be a Gzeira Dirabanan, a Takana Dirabanan, that they should do Chalitza, Tananami Nisyabmu. So the Mishnah, to round things out, also mentions the case of what happens if they did Yibum, even though, of course, there's no real Chiddush in that according to Beis Hillel, she would be also ever to marry a Kohen on the grounds of Zona, because she had relations with somebody with an Issa Kares. There's no need to mention that, but we're just mentioning it for parallelism with the case of Chalitza. Okay. Oh, yeah.